Hello everyone, I am Diana Isaacs. I'm an endocrine clinical pharmacist at the Cleveland Clinic, and I am with
Natalie Bellini, and I am an endocrine nurse practitioner in upstate New York.
And we are so excited to welcome you to this very special edition of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real-World Perspectives, where we are live at the Association of Diabetes Care and Education Specialists annual meeting in Baltimore. And we have interviewed a number of amazing guests over this four-day conference, and we are so excited to share it all with you.
Dr. Hood, can you please tell us a little bit about what you're doing and in your research, and as well as a little bit about Diabetes Wise?
Yeah, sure. Well, thanks for having me. And so I work as a staff psychologist and clinical researcher at Stanford University. And one of the things that we've done there is to build a platform online that's called Diabetes Wise. And Diabetes Wise aligns with other things that we're interested in, which, you know, I think at the heart of it is trying to make diabetes management easier for people with diabetes, and think about ways to do that through, you know, behavioral means, psychosocial means, and then Diabetes Wise focuses a lot on devices and trying to encourage and educate and engage people around using devices and kind of move them along in that journey so that not only do we get people on devices, but they stay on them, they use them well.
So I'm curious, where did this idea even come from to start Diabetes Wise?
Well, we had received some funding from the Helmsley Charitable Trust. I mean, this is all the way back, I think, 2014. And they and our team, we were really interested in understanding, like, what are the human factors, what are the individual variables, what are the psychosocial variables that go into why people use devices, like what are the profiles or personas of people who use devices, and thinking about, once we had all of that information as part of that project, we thought we really need to do something now with, like, what we've learned. And so we thought about if we could build a tool that people could use where we know something about them with a very little bit of information that they enter, like we can put them on a kind of a pathway to learn more and to learn more about what might work for them. So that was part of it, like the research that we had done and engagement with people. I also just, you know, heard from a lot of people with diabetes, you know, families in clinic, parents, adults, that, you know, they really wish they had some way of comparing devices, because at that point you really had to look at, you know, I'm going to go to this device manufacturer for CGM and then this other one, and, you know, it, you have a lot of screens at that point where you're trying to compare and contrast. So I think people were really interested in having that. And then I think maybe another part of it was that we didn't feel like there was something that was, I don't know, unbiased or unbranded. Also, we wanted to make it free. And so we just, you know, and fortunately we had a lot of support from the Helmsley Charitable Trust, who's also interested in this being free and, you know, getting out to people and helping more people get on devices. So
that's really awesome. I know it's helped my patients a whole lot. I'm curious, how do you keep it up to date? Like, how do you kind of, because there's new technology coming out, it seems like a lot to keep track of.
Yeah, it is. And I think that when we first thought about it, that was one of the things that we were worried about. And I think once we started adding content, once we started putting all the CGMs in and all the pumps and all this, we realized that, like, that's the heavy lift, is getting it all in there first. And then you kind of are able to adapt a bit or, improve or kind of edit what's there. And so really I think being able to stay up to date is not as much of a problem as we thought it was going to be. And especially, you know, things aren't coming out all the time. You know, it's maybe there's a big cycle around, you know, some of the major conferences and things like that. But really, we can keep up with it. the tricky part is, you know, understanding people, their use of it, that's a little bit harder to keep up with. So one of the sections we have on there is our wisdom story. So people have used different devices and said, oh, this one really worked well for me, and these were my priorities, these are the things I liked. As something new comes on the market, it takes a little while for us to get more stories. And so I think that's the part that lags behind a little bit, is like the real person's experience with a new product. So that lags, and we're trying to figure out ways to do that a little bit more quickly. But that's one of the things that we have to keep up with.
Awesome. And then I know, so it started with Diabetes Wise, but I know Yep. We had a presentation together here at the ADCS conference on the Diabetes Wise providers, Right. Which I think is such an incredible tool, and a lot of people were really excited to learn about it. But can you talk a little bit about how did that happen? Like, how did the Yep. Transition go from not just Diabetes Wise, but now having a separate site for Diabetes Wise providers?
Yeah, sure. So I think that started because we had a number of providers as we were doing user research for the patient-facing version. We had a lot of providers who said to us, like, this is a great tool. Like, I need this for me. And I think we didn't quite realize that there was going to be that big of a need. And then we started to talk more with healthcare professionals across a lot of different settings. So we would talk to primary care, family physicians who were seeing, a good number of people with diabetes, but didn't have a lot of the information that Diabetes Wise contained. And so we didn't think that they would just go to a patient-facing site. So we wanted to make something that was really dedicated to providers and cut across, CDCSs, endocrinologists, and people in specialty clinics, but also really focus on those outside of the specialty clinics, because I think that's where we can do a lot more. There's a bigger impact if we can get to those providers out in the real world or the community. So
I think that's really important, specifically because so many of the patients don't see an endocrinologist.
Yeah.
Right? There aren't enough of them. So, or a CDCES. The Osiers were on with us during ADA and talked about that 38% of primary care providers don't have access to a CDCES at all.
Yep.
So you can't send them to somebody that doesn't exist. So this really does help that provider, help the provider in conjunction with the patient make a mutual decision to support that next patient step in their diabetes management.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you saying that. And I think that when we thought about it, I think that we initially thought it might be something you could do in clinic, or you could do it remotely, via telehealth, where you actually are engaging at the same time, almost like a shared decision making. And I think that over time we figured out that was trickier to do, and so we wanted to at least have that part where the provider could explore the different opportunities, educate, could learn about it, and then either have a particular patient in mind that they want to use this for, or just kind of more generally, what does it take to prescribe a CGM for adults on insulin and with diabetes? I mean, and so we wanted to have that kind of tool available. In the provider version, the professional version, we have some of the same information on Diabetes Wise, so people can go on and look at all the different devices, the different device classes. They can look at what people say about them, their reviews. They can compare and contrast, so you can line up a certain CGM with another and see all the different features, the alarms, comfort, wearability. You can do all of those things. But what I think people are going to be drawn to more than those is the prescription tool, which we heard from a lot of providers as we did interviews, is that it's so hard to know with so many different insurance plans and different payers, is this going to be covered, and what am I going to have to do to get my the person sitting in front of me with diabetes, what am I going to have to do to get them on a device? And so we wanted to build something that could have, you know, could be highly specialized, and you can put in a certain device, you can tell the state that you're in, you can say this specific plan, and then it's going to spit out, you know, X device is covered by this and this payer, this insurer, and it's distributed by, you know, a durable medical equipment company or a pharmacy benefit, and we know that in this state you have to have prior authorization or you don't have to have it. And then you can expand that to think of, you know, you can look through actual policies and actual details. I think most people aren't going to, but we wanted a tool that gave people that information more quickly than submitting claims, submitting authorizations, and then waiting for a denial or, you know, and going through months sometimes of trying to do that when you could just pull it up very quickly.
So yesterday I went to the Diabetes Wise booth and put in my state and put in insurance that I know well and did some testing, and I think for someone who has not prescribed lots of them, people are walking into the office now saying, I want that thing,
yeah.
Right? They see the ads on TV now for all the sensors, for all the CGMs, and I think more and more clinicians that aren't used to prescribing are going to be asked to. And, you know, we're huge fans and huge proponents for CGM, but if the prescriber just turns them down because they don't know, that's a real negative,
yep,
towards that patient's outcome, right? They deserve,
yep,
this if they have access to it. So I think this really will be a game changer for those clinicians that don't know, or for someone like me when there's been an update and I didn't know that Aetna in New York under this plan did an update and I didn't know it and I get a kickback, right?
Yeah.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also just want to add, even the part of it where you can just see, okay, what are the different components? Because some people, they don't know, okay, how long do you wear the sensor for? What supplies are included? Is there a separate transmitter that I need to order?
Right.
And so just even having that info so accessible makes it so much easier for,
yeah,
clinicians and healthcare providers. So I think it's such a great resource.
And I think that, and to your question earlier about keeping that up to date, I think that there will be things that I think change a little bit more quickly in this, and so I think it'll require us to stay on top of it. You know, maybe they, you know, upgrade a certain part of the what's prescribed. You know, there's a few different pieces of it, and they upgrade this one, and then you have to. That also then changes what's covered, and you have to, you know, fill back in the information. So I think that we kind of are setting our minds or setting our goal to be, if we're current within 3 months, like we're doing a really good job, like we're staying on top of it. And so that's, I think we're gonna try and aim for that.
Awesome. I'm curious, what are there any additional upcoming plans for either Diabetes Wise or Diabetes Wise providers that you plan to, I guess, build or expand on?
Well, I think that there's probably two main parts that we're actively doing. One is, on Diabetes Wise, on the patient-facing side, we've done a decent amount of translation to Spanish, but there's still a lot more to do. And what we're working on now are more patient stories in Spanish, and so not just translating the English ones, but actually having individuals speaking Spanish, talking about their experiences with it, and also their interactions with the healthcare system and trying to get at that. So that's one thing that we're actively doing, trying to, I think, make the website more accessible more broadly than what it is right now. And then I think we're at the same time trying to expand a little bit. You know, it's got a more of a type 1 diabetes focus now. We've done some work with insulin requiring adults with type 2. And so we're trying to integrate some of that piece as well, some of their experiences. And there's a lot of similarities and there's some big differences. And so I think we want to have some of those voices as well, so that it's not just type 1, although certainly has more of a feel of that, but we want to expand it a little bit in those areas. So those are, I think, two things that we're improving on the patient side. And then on the provider side, I think we'll just continue to kind of optimize the prescription tool, you know, make sure we're current on devices. Even just being here at ADCS and talking with some of the different companies, we've learned new things that we need to add, and so we're going to go back and put those pieces in place, and hopefully we have a completely operational tool, the prescription tool, within, you know, another month. So
that's awesome.
Phenomenal.
So that sounds amazing. Are there any other initiatives you're working on or anything else you want to share with our listeners today?
Research at Stanford, what you're doing, what you're looking forward to?
Yeah, I think that, you know, like I mentioned at the beginning, you know, we try and do things that kind of make diabetes management easier, and we think a lot of that has to do with how people are feeling about it, their quality of life, and their use of devices. And so we're launching a project now that is targeting the 15 to 25 year old, so those kind of adolescent and young adult age group, to do an intervention that is doing both of those things, trying to help them with stress, distress, management of just life at this age group, and then also if they're not using CGM, get them on CGM, and also and then kind of optimize the use that they have with it, and hopefully the sustained contact with them, and then also using these tools together, I think we can improve some outcomes, because we know this is a group at highest, you know, one of the highest risk groups in terms of poor health outcomes. So so we're excited about that. And it's a fun age group to work with, and so we're looking forward to that. And then the only other thing I'll say is that it's been an interesting transition over the last couple of years with our clinic in terms of how much they do in telehealth. Our psychology services moved almost entirely, like 95%, to telehealth, delivering services. And our diabetes clinics on the pediatric and adult side, some groups are the same. You know, 80% of the visits are done, especially in kind of the younger groups. So I think we need to do more work to understand, especially as we think about remotely starting people and remote management, how we can do that effectively, because there's more to it, as we all know, more to it than just being able to connect on a Zoom or whatever it is. So I think knowing some of the, so we've been doing more work to understand some of those kind of behavioral and human variables that potentially get in the way of being able to effectively do telehealth and in people with diabetes. So we're excited about that, and I think that there'll be more to come on that.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. That was amazing. I want to encourage our listeners to check out diabeteswise.org and the Diabetes Wise providers. It's Wise, like WISE.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks.
And all the great information.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.